You need to set aside all of the junk that the enemy's trying to put on you, and all of the cares and all of the things that kind of bind our thinking and keep us from being focused. And let's pray to that end. Father, I thank you today for the word. I thank you for anointing me to deliver the word. I thank you that you're anointing the hearers, Lord. Lord, I bind every spirit of confusion. I bind every distractive spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and our hearts are open to the truth. And I thank you, Lord, that I deliver this in such a way, Lord, that it's receptive in Christ's name. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about kingdom authority. How many knows what that means? Through submission. Through submission. We want to start here in Genesis, and I'm going to talk about, build a case for it for just a second before I get into the meat of what we want to talk about. And I want you to look at verse 26 through 28 with me. And this is God speaking, and he said, "Let us make man in our image." Did you know you're made in the image of God? "And after our likeness." If you could see these two chairs up here, they look pretty similar, don't they? One's in the image of the other one. God has made mankind in his image. He wants us to reflect himself. How many knows what if you could see my shadow up here right now, when I walk around, I can see a shadow. That is an image of me. Sometimes when I turn sideways and it's up against the wall, I don't like what I see because of the middle-aged spread thing going on. But it's an image of who I am. And sometimes, you know, we don't see ourselves clearly the way we should see ourselves. But God has made us in his image and in his likeness. And he said, let them, talking about the ones he had created in his likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth. Say that with me, over all of the earth. Over all the earth and over all the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. We got power and authority and dominion over creeps. And look what else he says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. Men, get that. Male and female created he them. We're equal. And then verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face upon the earth. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. How do we, God created us to have a certain amount of authority and a certain amount of dominion. Now, listen carefully. This does not make us God, but it makes us a manager over what God has intended for us to have dominion over. And it was over all of the earth. So God has created us to have dominion. You and I have been called to rule and reign in this life. Some people are thinking, well, I'm sure not reigning right now. Things are reigning over me. Well, there's a reason. And I'm going to share that with us today, how we can turn the thing around. Look what he said. God told Adam, he said, subdue the earth. That means bring it into literally bondage under your care. And this carries the idea of forcing something into submission. The word rule here means to have dominion. It carries the idea of a kingdom ruled by the King of Kings. Now, both of these principles require authority and power to carry out. But God gave man both in the beginning. But something happened. Man turned against God and gave that dominion over to Satan. Man had this dominion, and had he not fallen for Satan's trap, then he would still be ruling and reigning in that capacity today. So the problem is the fall messed up everything, but listen to this, for a season, not forever, for a season, Satan came and was able to usurp the authority and power of mankind to rule in the earth. It wasn't Satan's right to have it, but man gave it to him. That's what the word usurp means. He didn't have the right to do it, but he came and man fell for his lies and inadvertently turned over his authority, his power, his ability to rule to the enemy. And God, the whole thing about Jesus coming was to buy back that. Jesus came, the Bible says, bring up this next scripture in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 8. And is it all right if I come down there with you this morning so I don't have to look these up? Time is clicking away. You singers are long-winded. That's good. That's all right. And I feel like I got to speed through more. So let me get down here with you so I can read off a few scriptures I'd laid out. One is this one, 1 John 3, 8. He said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That's the purpose of Christ, to come and destroy the works of the devil. Legal authority over God's people, but it was broken when Jesus came and he destroyed the works of Satan. He doesn't have legal authority over us anymore. Now, I want you to look at these next few scriptures. I'm going to run them off real quick before I get into the meat of what we're talking about. Now, it says in Matthew 28, 18, it says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right now, all power has been given to Jesus. There is nothing that's not under his rule and his reign. All right? Acts 1:8 says, now you have been given power. Because the Bible says after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be endued with power. Are you listening? We're going somewhere with this. Colossians 1:13. Now you've been placed into a new kingdom. If you're born again, and I hope you are this morning, you no longer are under the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are now in a new kingdom. All power was given to Jesus. We've been endued with power. We've been removed from one kingdom, if you will, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, which is his dear son. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 that we are ambassadors unto the king himself. Bring that one up. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now look at this last one, 1 Peter 2 and 9. We are of a royal lineage now. Listen to this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been translated, we have been endued with power, we have been taken from one kingdom into another kingdom. Now, my question to us this morning is, how are we doing? How are we doing? If all of these truths, and I believe they are true, or I wouldn't be preaching it, are truth, are God's word, how are we doing? And I'm not talking about the church universal. I'm talking about us personally. Let's bring it down here where we live this morning. Let me tell you what it means to live submissively under kingdom authority. It is to live under a kingdom manifestation, a covering, a blessing, and power. And listen to me. Here's the problem. It always has to be fought for. You say, if all this is true, then why don't I? You have to be willing to fight for it. Bring up the next scripture. You have to be willing to fight for it. Look what Matthew 11, 12 says. For the kingdom of God suffereth violence. Now this is the kingdom you've been translated into. And the violent take it by force. You've got to be willing to fight for it. You've got to be willing to get violent if necessary. Listen to this. It is no walk or walk in the park on our best days. Because there will always be one that opposes us. Satan. He will always oppose you. He will always oppose your family. He will always oppose your finances. Listen to this. How many understand this? The devil's not going to leave us alone till he's cast into the lake of fire. As long as he has Right, if we're getting hot in here, please have one of the ushers turn the air back on. It was getting cold, and I, you know, it's hard to regulate. I don't want to freeze people, but I don't want to burn you up either. He's always going to be throwing temptations at us. How many believe that? Always. Even if you're born again, even if you're filled with the Spirit, even if your mind's renewed, there's still going to be temptations coming at you. You won't be exempt from that. He's always going to be scheming against our families, against our church, against our finances. Why? Because that's the way he's wired. That's who he is. That's why he is the father of the kingdom of darkness. He's always going to be trying to put sickness and disease and calamity upon us. He's always going to be looking for ways to rob your joy and your peace. Understand this. There's only one way in order for us to defeat the devil. And I want you to listen to this carefully, this statement I've got. And I want to read it out. I want to say it twice so you understand this. You can forget every spiritual principle you ever been taught. You can forget every book you ever read that tells you every demon and every rank of demon. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD in demonology. That doesn't matter if you don't understand this one principle I'm fixing to share with you. They're all useless because if we don't understand this, none of it will ever work. Look at James chapter 4. This is the missing principle of the faith walk in a lot of people's lives. And it's this one statement right here. And it is a great revelation that has just went right over the top of everybody's head. So many people, and they're born again. I'm not saying we're not born again. I'm just saying we're missing a link in our walk with the Lord, and this is it. Look what it says in James 4, 7 and 8. It says, submit therefore to God. That sounds simple, doesn't it? Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to this word, submit means to put into subjection, or here's a better way to say it, to place oneself under subjection. Submit means you do it. You do it. God's not going to do it for you. He's telling you to do it. Submit. And this is the problem. So many people, we want the blessings of God. How many wants the blessings of God this morning? All of us do. But we're missing something. And it is this. If we're not willing to submit, then we can't resist. Here's what I mean. All of the problems that are coming in our lives, if we're not willing to submit to God, then God can't help us. Come on, church. That's ouch. We have to be willing to submit, or we will never have the power to overcome the enemy in our lives. He will always be tempting us. He will always be scheming against our families, our finances. He will always be trying to put sickness upon us. But if we're not willing to submit to God, then we don't have any power and authority in and of ourselves. It's all through Christ. How many knows he was in perfect submission unto the Father? That's why when they came to throw him off the brow, they couldn't. He walked right through the midst of them. We've got to learn, as a people of God, that there is this thing called submission. Some of us think we're in submission, and we're not. We got to learn that if we're going to win this battle, whip the devil in our life, and get these blessings that God has put out here and said they're yours, then we got to be willing to submit to God. It means place one's self under subjection to obey. The Word says we have to do this, and it says when we do this, that God will draw near to us. Listen to me very carefully. When God draws near to us, how many knows the devil don't want to be around God? He'd just soon not be around him, because every time he gets close to him, it reminds him of his defeat, that Jesus defeated him, and also his ultimate being put into hell and Hades and the lake of fire and the bottomless pit. So it don't bring any joy to his heart. So when we begin to submit to God, the Bible says we'll draw near to him and he draws near to us. And as we do that, then we have the power to walk in this thing that he said in Genesis. It says that we should have dominion and we should be able to walk in this life with some dominion and authority. But it only comes if we place ourselves under submission. Think about this for a minute. If Jesus Christ, thank God he didn't, had came, and the Bible says in Philippians, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, that means submitted unto God, even to the, he was obedient unto God, even to the death of the cross. What if Jesus had came and decided that he had a better way than God's way? The Father's way. Would he been able to do what he does? No. Or did? Would he be able to go to the cross? No. Would he be able to redeem mankind? No. So I'm telling you this morning, we've got to be willing to place ourselves under submission. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 19. I want to show you a case of a person under perfect submission to God. And that was Paul the Apostle. And then I want to show you the flip side of that, a person who is a lot like believers today. We want to have the authority, we want to have the power, but we don't want to have the submission part. And listen, this is not beating us down. This is making us understand the missing link where maybe we're not making the connection. Well, Pastor, I thought it was all faith. Listen, no faith is real faith unless it's first born out of submission. Acts chapter 19. And I'm looking at verse 11 through 16. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. How many would like to be used that way? Then are you willing to do what Paul did? Look what else it says. So that from the body, his body, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Before I go any further, how many knows of the, we've heard of the great Smith Wigglesworth, surely most of us in here. He used to be able to cast devils out and see people healed miraculously, and he was in perfect submission to the Father. And that's why he was able to walk in this kind of power. Now listen, there would be other ministers that were with him in several campaigns, several things, several meetings, and several episodes where he dealt with people with demons, and they couldn't cast them out. But he'd come along, and then just with the power of the spoken word, he would be able to cast the devil out of people. What was the difference? It's what I'm talking to you about today. It's about being in perfect submission to the Father, perfect submission to the Word. And let's read the rest of this. It said that the handkerchiefs and aprons and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Well, we think, well, he just had a special gift that nobody else had. Did he? Is the body the body? If he was part of the body, he was called to be an apostle, no doubt about it. If you're part of the body, is my hand any more important than my foot? I need them both. We need them all. And look, he was in perfect submission and he could do these things. Now listen, here come some half-hearted believers. And look what they say in verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought everything bowed to the name of Jesus. No, it's not a magic word. You're not going to say hocus pocus Jesus and everything's going to go away. We think that sometimes. I think we think that in the church. It's not some magic formula. It's not rubbing a genie and say, oh, Lord, I invoke this by your name. That would be rich witchcraft. Now, look. These guys, they were certain vagabond of Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, look what they said. It sounded right. It sounded like they knew what they were doing. We adjure you by Jesus. Now, here's where the line is drawn in the sand, whom Paul preacheth. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a personal relationship with him. They didn't walk with him. They weren't in perfect submission with him. Now look at the rest of this, because this is what's happening. And they were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Let that soak in for a minute. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But you're not on the list. You're not on the approved vendor list. We laugh at that. But look what happened. And there were seven sons of Sceva, the Jew, a chief priest, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. What am I saying this morning, church? I'm saying, if you don't have submission to God, invoking Jesus' name won't do you one bit of good. If you think that just because you show up for church sometimes, and I'm saying this in a nice way, I want you to understand that that's enough. That's not enough. It is a relationship with a living Savior who died for you and I, who wants to know us intimately, who wants us to walk hand in hand with Him, who wants us to be in submission to the Father. Did you know when we're not in submission? How many knows when you're not in submission, what's the opposite of obedience? What's the opposite of being in submission? A rebel? Well, I never see myself as a rebel. When we're not in submission to God, we're not going the same way He's going. We're not doing the same things He's doing. We're not thinking the thoughts He's thinking. We're not saying the things that He's saying. Then we, whether we realize it or not, we're not going the same direction as the Father. This is strong, isn't it? But it's the truth. And how many wants to have blessings in their lives? How many was willing to do whatever it takes? Here we see in this story two different things happening. We see a man fully submitted to God using the name of Jesus and extraordinary miracles taking place. We see a group of men not fully submitted to God using the name of Jesus and demons are ruling and dominating over them. Unfortunately, this is happening to a lot of us. And what we need to understand is God's not mad at us. He just wants us to get on the right side. The level of kingdom power you and I have access to is directly related to our understanding of submission. I think sometimes we have misrepresented the gospel in the sense that we lead people to believe that you can come up here and we can pray and that you get born again and then nothing ever has to change from that point on. That's not Bible. That's not what Jesus preached. That's not what the Father preached. That's what God wants us to have. We need to have an understanding of the submission to God, and then the authority of God becomes part of our lives. How many would like to see a miracle in your life or someone else's? A miracle in your body? Did you know God says that His arm is not too short, that He can't save? His power is still there, folks. He still has an enablement. He still has the ability to do what's necessary. A miracle in your mind. Some people are so bound by thought life that they can't be happy because they're overwhelmed with worry and stress and their mind goes every different direction. A miracle in your family. How many needs a miracle in their family? A miracle in your finances. How many needs a miracle in your finances? Probably a lot of people. Probably a lot of us. A miracle on your job. Then this is how you're going to do it. You're going to have to submit to the authority of God in every area that I just mentioned. Let me show you what I mean. In your body, then you need to submit to, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will not allow anything to get in this body that I know is destructive. That's what submission is. And then you got to believe the promises of God to the point that the promises of God are more important than, listen to me carefully, I'm not anti-doctor because I go to doctors, but God's word has to be the final authority. More than anything else you want to believe. If you can get that, then you're in perfect submission to God. and you're a candidate for the power of God and the authority of God to work in your life, your mind. Start feeding it the principles of the Word of God. Stop dwelling on the ugly things of life and begin to let your mind dwell on the high and the holy things. I didn't say it'd be easy. I said in Matthew it said that the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. You got to want this thing. How many wants it this morning? I believe all of us do. Families, then build your marriage on the principles of the Word of God. Raise your children like you're the parents and they're the child according to the Word of God. Now listen, I had a couple, actually a husband come to me several months back, and he began to tell me how terrible things were between him and his wife. And I listened to him for a little bit, and finally I said, can I be perfectly honest with you? He said, please do. I said, are you sure you can handle it? He says, I am. I said, well, I'm going to say it in the nicest way I know how to say it. The reason you're having these difficulties is because you're not honoring her like the Bible teaches you to honor her. And her, you. That's when you're submitting to God's word. When I say something or do something to my wife over here that's wrong, the principle of God says, go to her, make it right. I don't like turning my back on her. She's making faces. Amen. When you start submitting to the principles of God in your life, then things will work like God said they will work. And I said, you two guys, I said, you got where you're not even coming to church half the time anymore. I said, I can tell you right now, you're heading for a road of destruction. Just by the authority of God's word, I know it. I'm not having some vision, I just know. Because if you don't put the principles of God to work in your life, the devil will steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does, and that's what he likes doing. Jesus said, I come to give you life and it more abundant. The only way it comes is when we begin to put him and his word first place in our lives. If we're talking about our jobs, listen to this. Prepare yourself through hard work and education, young people, and labor and then work as unto the Lord in all of your dealings. Listen, God watches us even when our bosses are not watching us. We got to be diligent. We got to be integral. We got to do the things that we know God would have us do. Work as unto the Lord. And when we do that, God, the Bible said promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. There's many times when I'm sloughing off at work and I tell myself, because I'm a boss at work, because I'm the boss, I can do this. And then I hear the Holy Spirit says, work us unto the Lord. And I say, okay, Lord, I'll get back doing what I need to be doing. It applies to all of us. There are no exceptions. I wish they were, because I'd take one of those. Finances. Put God first. That's all I need to say. Church, start acting like you're part of the body. Start exercising your spiritual gifts humbly before the Lord and see what happens. Your first miracle, listen to this, your first miracle is as close as your willingness to submit to God. Did you know sometimes when the anointing's being, you can feel the anointing up here, it's tangible, and God is doing supernatural things in our midst, that some people won't even submit to God and come up here and get prayer because for whatever reason. And they miss out. Are you listening? That's submission. That's submission. Years ago, I was under a pastor, and because I thought I had more faith than he had, I wouldn't go up when he would ask people to pray for it. And you know what? I suffered with back problems for years because I was too prideful. And then one day, sitting in the audience, my wife reached over and spoke and said, go up there. I said, no. She said, that's pride. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. The Holy Spirit been telling me that all along. So I humbled myself. I submitted. I went up. And God began to touch me. God's looking for obedient people. Your first miracle is as close as your willingness to submit to God. You say, Pastor, I thought the whole issue of receiving from God was by faith. Listen to this. Genuine faith is never exercised apart from the act of submission. I want to close with one story, and is that of the centurion to prove what I'm saying, and then we're going to pray for some folks. Is this okay? I know it's straight, but how many knows we need to hear straight from? We need the truth. If we're going to listen to the truth is what sets us free. Matthew 8, 15 through 13, and I'll turn there real quick. This is a story of the centurion. I know this by heart, but it is a perfect example of true submission and what God requires of us. And Jesus said, this man, no one had greater faith than him in Israel at that time. Isn't that awesome? Look at the story. It says, and when Jesus was entering to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest cometh under my roof, but speak the word only, that my servant may be healed. For I am a man under authority. Say that with me, a man under authority. Every one of us has a boss. And his name is God. I'm a man under authority. This man understood something about submission and authority. Having soldiers under me, and that if he had a squad or a troop is about 1,000 men, supposedly, according to history. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, cometh, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and do that, and he does it. Now look what Jesus said. Jesus said, verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled. I think Jesus is still marveling today when he finds somebody that will hear his word, and they put themselves, place themselves under his care, and he marvels. And he said, look, Jesus said, he said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Wait a minute. Submission and faith go hand in hand. And he said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's my point in all of this. Here's what I want you to see. That this centurion servant was not healed because he was a Jew, because he wasn't. He was not part of the covenant people of God. But he knew how to get Jesus' attention. And this centurion servant was healed because he submitted to the authority and the power of Jesus and his ability to do it. He was willing to do whatever it took to get his servant healed. He had compassion for all under his command, and he demonstrated by seeking Jesus. He was humble in his authoritative role. He understood, even though he was a leader, he was under leaders, more leaders above him. There were leaders above him. Come on, church. You know, every time that we get hateful about our bosses at work and say evil things about them, we're cursing authority that God has ordained. He fully understood Jesus' authority and not just his power. Jesus said no greater faith had been seen in all of Israel. So you see, submission to authority is an example of great faith. Stand to your feet with me. Could I get the band come up? How many needs God to work in their life this morning? If we'll be honest this morning, I bet everybody in here, in one way or another, needs God to work in their life. Me included. I'm going to tell you, it's not a great secret. The secret's out. If we need God to move in our lives, here's how we get him to move. Donna preached Wednesday night, and this is what got me thinking about this. That God would pull Israel out of their messes over and over and over, and then finally he drew a line and said, I'm not going to do anything until you fully repent. Or fully submit would be another way to look at it. If we need God to work, your miracle is as close as your willingness to submit to God. One of the ways you can do that this morning is come up here and let me pray and agree with you. Did you know the Bible says if two touching any one thing that they ask of my Father, it will be given to them. So if you need a miracle, and you're willing to let God work in your life, and you're willing to submit to God, God wants to work in your life. Someone, please crank this air conditioner down. It's hot in here. Could I get some prayer warriors up here? No, it's on.